To work a hot dog stand is one thing. To go into the next step to covering these major auctions and stuff, that's a whole different ballgame. Just for the sodas alone, I would have to bring in my utility trailer, which is 8 foot by 20 foot, and it was totally loaded with sodas.
Everybody, it's Steve at Hot Dog Cart Radio. You can always hear us at hotdogprofits.com. Today I'm talking with Mike Quinley from Clinton, Missouri. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing just fine.
Very good. I got in contact with Mike a while back. He has a really interesting story about his hot dog cart journey from starting with nothing to building up a real nice business for himself. And then, unfortunately, due to some health concerns, he contacted me to sell his equipment off and help him get that sold off. But I just wanted to start from the beginning and find out how you got interested in selling hot dogs in the first place.
Well, this is the part of the story I didn't tell you about. My wife has a thing about, we have 9 children, and she likes to go visit them, so I make the trips to the airport and drop her off, and she'll make a 3 or 4 day jaunt out seeing the kids. Well, I stopped in at this Lowe's to pick up some stuff, and there's this guy selling hot dogs there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I got interested in and talked with him, and he had a pretty good business going on. And so we talked for about an hour, and I thought that was pretty cool. And that was during the summertime. I came back, wife doing another one of the little jaunts there, and it was wintertime. This gentleman now is inside the little atrium of that same Lowe's selling hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They had told him that, hey, because when he shut down for the summertime, they called him and said, we want you back.
Nice.
Because our customers want you. And so this gentleman now is... he's the one who got me motivated and got me to thinking about hot dogs, you know. And so that was the beginning of where I got started with this.
Okay.
And he is now starting his own business of making hot dog carts and setting up a franchise to people.
Okay.
That he can set them up in, I think he's covering now 90 of the Lowe's stores.
Very
that
good.
He's putting a hot dog cart with a person in there and setting them up with a business.
Okay.
And so that got me really curious. And so that's when I started looking around for hot dog carts, and I ran across your website. And I actually bought a cart off of your website from one of your customers.
Okay.
And I drove about 5 hours to go pick this thing up because it was the closest one I found near me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought it back and studied some of the stuff on your website there. One of the biggest things I can say with the people is be very involved in your community, you know, with various organizations and stuff, because I've always been that way. So when I went to the city council and said, hey, I'd like to start selling hot dogs on the square, they said, sure, hey, we're excited. This is something new and neat we wanted. So they were thrilled to see me there, and everybody was happy because it was something new and different.
Sure.
And so I started out just 2 days a week on the corner of the square selling hot dogs. Next thing I know, some friends of mine come by and says, hey, at the T-ball games, we don't have anybody there to sell refreshments and stuff. So there and again, I went back to the city council and the park and recs, and they discussed it and said, hey, not a problem. We worked, negotiated a percentage of my sales, went back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So here now I picked up another 2 days a week serving hot dogs again.
Okay.
And the next thing I know, I'm out selling and doing a little promotional for one of the businesses. It was a sporting good place there. And the Trackers Industry, which builds tracker boats and stuff, they have a little kitchen inside their business, but they didn't have nobody to run it.
Is this like Bass Tracker?
Yeah, they build the Bass Tracker boats here.
Gotcha. Okay.
All your Nitro boats and Tahoe boats, they build them here.
That's a big company, yeah, okay.
And so they averagely run about anywhere from, I'd say, 250 to 300 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked me then to come in and start managing the kitchen. They said, look, you take the kitchen over, it's yours. So I went to start negotiating, okay, well, what are you going to look for as a return? They said, look, we enjoy your food. We're not going to charge you nothing. Just feed our people.
Wow.
And then to make matters even more interesting, because I had some previous engagements that I did on a Friday and Saturdays because I did state auctions and equipment auctions and stuff. I told them, I don't know if I can come in there and do it 5 days a week. They said, look, we'll take whatever you give us.
Hmm.
They let me set my own hours. You know, the key thing with any business is being personable and friendly to people.
Absolutely.
I developed a very great rapport with the people, and then I whipped out my secret weapon.
What's that?
I have my neighbor. He's an 84-year-old man. But this man, you can't meet him without liking him.
Okay.
And all I had him do was to collect the money,
mm-hmm.
And his name's Casey. They loved him so much that several of the women and guys wanted to take him home. They thought he was the coolest and neatest thing in the world.
Okay.
And, because he was just like me, so friendly and personable.
Right,
and
right.
Everything. But, and the amazing thing is I started doing this 2 years ago, and I started at the beginning of what Memorial Day there.
Mm-hmm.
By June 4th, the 4th of July weekend, they went on vacation. So the following week is when I took over their kitchen.
Wow.
So it was a short period of just going to just doing this part-time as an occasional thing to full-time and all that I could handle and then some.
That happened fast.
It did. Well, like I say, it's not that I'm a outstanding individual in the community, but I work within the community in different organizations, and what I mean is I'm the Henry County CERT coordinator, which is a community emergency response team, and I work between the emergency management and the different churches on the faith-based
mm-hmm.
side of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, people knew me and everything, and then once they tasted the food, they were hooked.
Yeah, yeah. That is so important, though, the relationships
and being
known in your community and being a helpful person, too, not approaching it as, what can I get from volunteering, but just volunteering because that's what you want to do and you want to give back to the community, and that stuff all does come back to you.
And one of the things also I did, we have several scouting troops in here, I would say, okay, to me, it was a publicity for me. I would come in and tell them, okay, for the scouting troop, you set it up. I'll bring the hot dog cart in. Y'all help me manage it. All proceeds to you,
mm-hmm.
to the scout troop. Well, mm-hmm. they would really push it then.
Oh, yeah.
And so that just, helped. I couldn't get better publicity than if I, was hunting it down and paying for it.
Sure, sure.
And so I've done a lot of fundraisers and everything. And so people, that's how they got to know who I was, and the name of my company is Hot Diggity Dogs, and I wear a black T-shirt, and it's a very colorful gold, yellows, red, and greens, and stuff like that. It's got a shaggy dog surfing on a hot dog there.
Nice.
Really cool looking.
Can you send me a picture of you wearing one of those T-shirts?
I will do that, and then I wore a little, what they call a gangster hat.
Uh-huh.
I had an image that I personified there, and so most people, especially trackers, would not recognize me so much unless I had my hat on.
Oh.
As soon as I had my hat on, they'd say, hey, hot dog man.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah.
I got to be known as Hot Diggity Dog or the Hot Dog Man.
Yeah, that's all about branding, really. I mean, that's what
it is.
Separated you from anybody else on the street. You got a certain hat that you wore and your T-shirt, and like you said, there's your brand, instantly recognizable. That's really cool.
Oh. It is, and the same logo I had on my cart and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, the minute that they seen Hot Diggity Dogs, or they seen that black T-shirt and that hat, they knew it was me, regardless of anybody else.
There you go.
Well, that's an idea.
If you had continued with this and got multiple carts going and hired people, that would be like your uniform. They would all wear that hat and that T-shirt, too, and you could extend your brand that way.
Well, that's where we were headed to.
Okay.
And all because I worked with several different auctioneers, and I was getting to where I was going to have to put somebody in there with Casey to run the kitchen because I couldn't do that and keep up with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And all because during this, from the spring here until about Christmas, I was doing auctions regular.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was wearing me down.
Mm-hmm.
It really wore me down and everything because I had one of the heart attacks in the middle of serving food at the Tractors there.
Oh, man.
And like I say, the people just, they, to this day, love me to death. They, man, we wish you'd get better and come back.
Right.
Because, you know, they were guaranteed of two things, a friendly, happy smile with a joke or, you know, a really genuinely concerned about them, and then they had good food at a good price.
There you go.
The one thing I made sure I never did was we have a festival here once a year in our town. And to work that festival meant I would have to raise the price on my food.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that if I did that, that would affect my business more.
Mm-hmm.
Because then on that one particular three-day festival, they would want to know why would a $2 hot dog now be $5.
Okay.
And nobody would understand it's because just to work that three-day festival would cost me $800.
Sure.
And so, you know, somewhere you got to pass that cost down. And so whatever little profit I would have made that time wasn't worth losing the business.
Well, that's the great, great point that you make, and that's one of the things that we discuss, you know, inside of our course is the difference between a daily street vending business and one that just does the events. If you do have a brand that you've spent a long time building up in the community, you can't go into events and all of a sudden, you know, bump your prices up $3 because, like you just said, that's going to hurt your brand and it's going to hurt all that future business down the road. But if you go into this with just a festival mentality, if that's all you want to do, then yeah, you can do that. Or the third option is have a separate cart that is not branded and that doesn't tie into your personal business, your street vending business. Don't put the hat on, don't put the T-shirt on, and just send somebody out there, kind of a brandless cart, and then you can charge what you want as long as you don't tie that back into your business. So yeah, that was a smart move, Mike.
Well, and one of the biggest things, because I come from a business-oriented family, and we always believed in my family that nobody runs your business like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. Casey was, you could say, like my dad to me. I trusted that man completely and everything. And so I knew I could lead that in the business with him for his managing it, but I knew he couldn't physically handle it.
Right.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. Getting somebody that you know that will take care of your business like you would.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the next thing I was trying to do is finding somebody that I knew that would take care of my business as good as I would. And so I was going to look at them to start covering some of the other events like the ballparks and stuff like that there, and then maybe help me a little bit on some of the auctions.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting somebody with, and it's not the money that you trust them with, as is your reputation.
Right.
You're never guaranteed that you're going to make thousands or hundreds of dollars at any show or any event, but your name is always there.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I build up and everything. It was who I was and what I did. If you got signature dishes, people grow to love them and want them.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a couple signature hot dogs that people loved, and I've had them if I was doing an auction or an estate sale here in my town. Hey, where are you going to be at? We'll come by. They would come by just to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my signatures, I don't know if I told you about, was a burger dog.
I don't think you did.
Let me explain that one to you. You basically take your hamburger meat, and you can do several different with it, but you create a very a unique flavor with it, with your different spices, and you can make any one you want. Mine, I took a mozzarella and cut it up into like French fry size.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, so I had a piece of mozzarella there. Then I would take and mix up my hamburger meat with some Montreal steak sauce in it, some seasoned salt, and it was two or three others, depending on what I wanted to do with it. And then I would take a piece of plastic, you know, regular saran wrap. I would put the cheese there, and then I would form that hamburger into like a hot dog,
mm-hmm.
right around that cheese.
Oh, okay.
Then I would roll that up. Then I would fold the corners in and then finish rolling it. Then I could take and freeze them and store them when I got ready to. And then on the hot dog cart, I would have some a separate water bath that I would boil for this with a different type of seasoning and beef bouillon down inside there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would boil them. Then you pull this out, and, you know, and you treat them like a regular hot dog.
So when you froze them, the meat was still raw?
No. Yeah, it was still raw when I froze them.
Okay.
So I would take them out of the freezer if I knew I was going to be doing a 300-man auction. Then I would take out a percentage of what I thought I would be selling that day I would thaw out and leave in the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take, and then when they were already thawed and ready to be cooked, I would just drop the plastic down in there.
Okay.
And so when they get finished cooking, I would pull the plastic off of them, put them down on the hot dog bun, because we did everything off of a hot dog bun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it kept me from having hamburger buns and hot dog buns.
Right.
I just reconfigured that hot dog, that hamburger into a hot dog.
Okay.
And I tell you, once people started eating them, they loved them.
I'll bet.
They went crazy over them.
Interesting. Interesting. Everybody who's listening to this, make sure you check with your local health department first and make sure that your local codes let you do that. Some will, some won't, but that's an awesome idea.
That was one of the coolest things. They'd never done a hot dog cart here in this area. So when I went to the Board of Health, so they said, well, we've never done one. How are we going to inspect you? We need to see how you're doing. I said, tell you what, you got, what, 10 employees here? I will come by and I will cook y'all lunch.
There you go.
And so they were all excited. Hey, it's publicity to me.
That's great. That's brilliant.
And invited a couple more friends over, you know. And so here I am. My very first experience of cooking hot dogs was to the Board of Health.
Wow.
And so they got to see how I set up in their parking lot.
That's great.
And,
that's great.
They loved it.
Yeah.
And like I say, they were supporters of me.
Okay.
That's how I got to cover some of the swim meets.
There you go.
So one of the guys' daughters did the swimming. He goes, you know what? We don't have no refreshments out there, and we have to drive to the other end of town. Hey, can you come out there?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, developing the friendships, and then they see your product and taste your product, they want it.
Sure.
It's what we call networking. You network who you are and what you're doing in your community.
Mm-hmm.
I had a standard I would give 10% back.
There you go.
Of whatever my profit was.
Mm-hmm.
So here they were getting good food and getting a portion of it back.
Right.
Like I say, Casey was my secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many times I've used this gentleman. He's retired, and he likes to come out and be with people
mm-hmm.
and everything. A lot of times, he's just sitting in his chair collecting money.
Yeah.
And all.
Yeah, back when my dad was still alive, he used to do the same thing. He'd come out and under the pretense of quote-unquote helping me, but really what he did was stand around and talk to the customers, and everybody loved him, and he was just really friendly.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Yeah, it was nice having him out there. When my dad passed, we had hot dog customers show up at his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So let's catch up to the present. You had some heart problems, and what's going on with your business now?
Well, I pretty much have shut everything down, but about two of my most faithfulest auctioneers. I will go out and do some of their auctions for them because it just takes a lot out of me to do it anymore because I'm up to my sixth heart attack right now.
Oh, my.
I started when I was 44, and I'm 54 now.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, it's just, it's been hard for me to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good to bring your wife to the doctor, because when the doctor tells you, you need to stop, your wife hears that very clearly. And
oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, once it's in your blood, you can't get it out.
It's true.
Because I told my wife, I said, honey, I can let everything go, but I'm going to still hold on to my hot dog heart. Because there's going to be days and times I can go and do that, and I will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love what I do. I love people. I love to talk with them. And I love them. Somebody said, man, that was a great hot dog. Give me another one.
Isn't that great?
I mean, oh, it is. I tell you, with that burger dog, I had a guy sit there and eat four of them in a row. And he would have ate the fifth one if he'd had any more room. To me, that's what gets good.
That's the ultimate compliment.
And he became a customer of mine.
Okay.
He owned a car lot, and he'd have a special sale some days or something, and he'd ask me to come out and set up on the car lot for him.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Developing friendships and working with people, you just can't beat it.
So you had moved up from a cart to a concession trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is the trailer what you're letting go?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
That does require a lot more work than a hot dog cart.
Okay.
And, why
don't you explain why?
You're taking on a bigger atmosphere with this. I use that to help over there at the Trackers, because Trackers, they didn't have a full kitchen in it. You couldn't cook in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I used it to cook in there. We just set it right outside the building. I could cook, and we'd just cater the food right in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I was doing a bigger event, for instance, they've got some auctions around here where for the farm and the implement auctions, there will be 6,000 people at this auction.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be the only game there. And I can promise you, two hot dog carts will not keep up with it.
Right.
When you get into the bigger end of these things, you need something that's going to produce the bare minimum of 3,000 meals a day.
Okay.
You know, at the bare minimum. And so that's why the kitchen, it had a 6-burner oven top in there, had a 24-inch griddle, had a 24-inch oven and a 36-inch oven, a double deep fryer, and that would be running steady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd be using all that. Then I had the cold maker's table for making fresh sandwiches and keeping a lot of products. It's pretty much like you see what at Subway shops.
Right.
You could open it up, and all your stuff was kept cool in it, and then had the cabinets underneath it. We had a double pizza oven in there. And
man, you had everything.
Then it was. I mean, there was nothing you could not cook in there.
Mm-hmm.
The back deck was open there so as that we could serve off the one side. The other side, we would have smokers going to smoke and cook out there. So that's what I'm saying. There was generally 3 to 4 cooks cooking in this thing and 3 servers.
Gotcha.
Like, say, a minimum of 5,000-6,000 people come, and they start that morning. So you're starting off with breakfast.
Right.
That one-day show was a 3-day event.
Okay.
It took you a day to come in, get everything set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because just for the sodas alone, I would have to bring in my utility trailer, which is 8-foot by 20-foot, and it was totally loaded with sodas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had big wash tubs that we iced them down with.
Right.
I have an ice machine. I would take the ice machine, load it on the trailer with it, bring it down there. We would hook it up, it's a 480-pound ice machine. That's how much it produces.
Wow.
I would run that thing through,
mm-hmm.
You know. By the time we left it, there was no ice left in the machine.
Okay.
And it was steadily chunking ice out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. When you get into these bigger ones, it is a total 2-day complete run you ragged.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because,
I'm sure.
You know, you spend the first day all setting up, because I would have the trailer there and I would have the hot dog stand there. We'd be looking at about 20 people working then.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you just got to be ready. If you know, to work a hot dog stand is one thing. To go into the next step to covering these major auctions and stuff, that's a whole different ball game.
Yes, it is.
And,
yeah.
That's a young man's game.
Yeah.
And at least a more healthier man's game.
I see. So how long is that concession trailer?
The trailer is 8-foot by 20-foot. That's the interior. Then it has an 8-foot by 6-foot open deck on the back.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it comes complete with an on-demand hot water system in it, fresh water and storage water in it.
Okay.
It's got a upright freezer, and then it has a refrigerator with a freezer on top of it.
Right.
And so you can store a lot of product in this thing real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell you what, send me pictures of that thing, and when we publish this interview on hotdogprofits.com, we'll certainly put the pictures on there and your contact info and try and help you get this thing sold.
Well, I would appreciate it, because the sad part is, you know, when you're not working, the bills add up.
Sure, absolutely.
You know,
yep.
And everything. But like I say, it's an industry. If you put your time and yourself into it, it will be as productive as you want. But if you go out there and just sit there and do nothing, you're just a cart sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you got to get yourself out there. You got to get knowing people. And one of the keyest things I used to do when somebody would come up and they would look and say, I don't know what I want. Well, I served pulled barbecue pork on mine, and I would even cut up some of the brats or some, have a different product. And I thought I would always give them a little sample. Here, I'll try this. Well, how about this? You know? And man, that's good.
Yep.
So they quickly made their mind up then.
Right. Well, there's a reason that you see all those samples in the Walmarts and the Sam's Clubs, because it works.
It does. I tell you what. Like I say, I sell a pulled barbecue pork sandwich, or I sell what they call the hillbilly hot dog, which is, you know, the barbecued pulled pork with a brat on top of it, and then it has the barbecue sauce and nacho cheese on it.
Mm.
And, yeah, once they taste some of that, they're done.
That's great.
That's what I'm saying. You know, creating signature dishes that they know this is the only place they're going to get it.
Yeah.
They see it. They've tasted it. And their mouth starts watering, and they're coming back.
Yep, and you put a name to your signature dishes. On my cart, we've got the same deal. We've got a Buffalo Cruncher, a Maxwell Street Griller, a Wisconsin, a Chicago Dog. We have names for all of them, and they've all, they're all like signature dishes, and that really differentiates you from the green hot dogs on the roller grill down at the 7-Eleven.
Yes, it does. And one of the things I found was real easy for me, my cart had a condiment aisle on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain condiments. I tell men, load the thing up. And they said, well, all right. I said, you don't want me to, because I'm going to pile it on for you.
Yeah.
because I had another condiment cart up by me. Oh, no, you just put it on. They want a sauerkraut? Man, I'd load it down with sauerkraut. That, if they wanted peppers, I'd load it down. Well, that's too many. I said, well, then you should load it yourself.
There you go.
So they always knew if I was going to do it for them, they were going to get loaded.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yep.
And that was part of the value to them.
Sure.
And, because a lot of times I've seen some guys that barely will put anything on there. And you kind of look at it like, okay.
Yeah, that's a scarcity mentality that's going to lose you customers in the long run.
Yes. When they sat there and see the quality that you're getting, because I always bought fresh produce when I could.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of Amish out here, and I would go to their markets, and I would pick up my produce from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have fresh out there. It was cheaper than buying it at any of the grocery stores or wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd pass that savings right on to my people. One more of my secret weapons for you.
Okay.
Is that I had a griddle on mine. And if you had a crowd kind of coming near, that's when I'd whip out some onions and peppers and stuff, and throw it out there and get that smell to flowing.
Yep.
Oh, it drove them crazy.
Yes.
Especially at them auctions.
Definitely. Yeah. Nothing like the smell of onions and peppers grilling to draw people in. That works. When I was a kid, actually, I managed a Burger King back when I was in high school, and the owner actually devised a little contraption where when we were frying the bacon up for the for their bacon hamburgers, he had a little vent that would pipe it out the window so that the people out in the street would smell bacon cooking, and it worked. It really did.
It does.
Yep.
It really does work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. Good food, unusual food, and a pleasant atmosphere will always yield you customers.
There you go.
It's never failed for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, Mike, I want to thank you so much for getting on Hot Dog Cart Radio here at hotdogprofits.com and just telling us a fantastic story. Your success came so quickly, and I want to thank you for sharing the reason why. And obviously that's your networking and serving a great product and being personable, branding yourself with the shirt and the hat, having signature dishes to serve. Everybody that's listening to this, take this stuff to heart because it works, and Mike Quinley's the proof of it. So, Mike, we will get those pictures from you and try and help you get that concession trailer sold, and I'm so glad that you're keeping a cart and still slinging when you can. That's awesome.
I'll probably die with that cart. I just hope I don't die doing it.
Yeah. yeah.
It's in your blood, and you just can't help yourself.
If you love it, it's not work.
That's the truth.
All right, Mike.
Well, Steve, I appreciate all you do and everything. And like I say, your site has helped me a lot and everything. I got a lot of good information off your site. And like I say, it was through your site I was able to buy my cart. And I don't know if you get enough of the kudos, but you do a great job for all of us.
Oh, I appreciate that. I love what I do, and I try real hard, and that means a lot, Mike. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, Steve, and you have a good day.
Okay, you too, Mike. Bye now.
All right, bye.
Whether you want to start your own hot dog cart or you've already been slinging hot dogs for a while, there's something for you at my website, www.hotdogprofits.com. See you there.